Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and the future and their family members. All grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. All great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, in agreement together, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Lord, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, the Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then we pray, Father, you get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church that then be baptized in water, that receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're agreeing that every Christian is becoming a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And we're agreeing all the sick people are being healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people are receiving and walking in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, that full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. We agree together and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we're going to pray for our country. We declare God bless America. We declare, Heavenly Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true God. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, our families, our churches, our states, and this nation. We declare that by faith. We're crying out for the end time revival. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall upon this nation, that there be great repentance and faith in Jesus, a turning back to you, Lord, and to the Word of God. And we're believing you for that. Also, we thank you for your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. We're praying for these men and all his cabinet appointees, past, present, future. We're praying for all their family members. Father, any of them that's not saved, bring them into a born-again relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Let them receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit. We're agreeing, Father, that whether they understand it or not, you're guiding them, and they're making all their decisions based upon the Word of God and our Constitution, and we thank you for that. Pardon me, with all our hearts. Also, Father God, we want to pray for the Jewish people. We love them. May they enter into that salvation. Lord, may they see that you, Lord Jesus, are their Messiah, and grant them repentance of sins and faith in you, Lord Jesus. And also, Father, we agree with you as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We agree, Father, that they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. You've given it to them. Lord, may they receive and walk in that inheritance. And then if any person, Father, tries to harm, do evil to the Jewish people in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And we declare that in Jesus' name. And we know, Lord Jesus, we're in the end times and it's coming close. So we continue to need, Lord Jesus, your mighty hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please, Father, protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. We agree together, Father, you will allow no person, no group or nation to poison, hack, diminish, destroy, evil affect any of these resources. And Father, if any person, group, or nation tries to do that, you'll stop them, you'll shut them down, and you won't let them to do that evil deeds. And please, Father, continue to bless Donald Trump and the ICE agents as you expose and bring to light and drive out of this country, Father, every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who has come into America to do evil and harm, Father, you're bringing them to light, and they're fleeing, and they will never return. And we agree for that right now, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to continue. We were talking about God's Word, how it's God's medicine bottle. And we looked in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. And I pray that you're taking God's Word daily as your medicine. Remember this, medicine has no adverse side effects. But we're going to continue to enter in to the understanding of healing. Remember, a very important scripture, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to build up your faith so that you can receive your miracle. You can be healed. If you're under demonic torment, you can be set free. Jesus wants to do that. He's paid for it, but let me prove that to you. Again, we'll go back. There'll be a little bit of review. We go back to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus is ministering, and in verse 16, the Bible says, when the evening was come, they brought him to him many that were possessed with demons. And I have to explain that word. If even in my King James Bible, there was a side note that says, daimonenzomai, which in the Greek means to be demonized or under the influence or attack of a demon. You're right. Christians cannot be possessed, but they absolutely can be demonized under the attack or influence of a demon. And I don't know any Christian in their life that hasn't been demonized, to be honest. Okay. But the point is, he's casting out demons. Okay. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Don't you love that word all? I think we understand that word, don't we? Now, why? That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself, that's Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, our deliverer and healer, he took our infirmities, personal weakness, stresses, and he bore our sicknesses, which would include pains and diseases. So Jesus casting out demons and healing sick people was a fulfillment of what the Old Testament said Jesus would do. Now, I really need to go ahead and read that scripture to you because I think it's very important, because a lot of people read Isaiah and they have no idea that it has to do with deliverance and healing. Isaiah 53:3, he, and you know this is talking about Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now again, in the Hebrew, that word can also mean sicknesses. And how we know that? I just read Matthew 8. That shows that's what it really did mean. And carried our sorrows. That can also be interpreted pains. And again, Matthew 8 that I just read to you shows it does mean that. Okay. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Talking about Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our lawlessness and rebellion, right? The chastisement for our peace was upon him, Jesus. And here it is. And with his stripes we are healed. Not his blood. By his stripes we were healed. And then when Jesus was in his ministry, as I've just read, he was healing, casting out demons. No record at this point about people getting saved, although they were. But that's what Isaiah was talking about. Jesus came not just to save us from our sins, but to heal and deliver us. And then we kind of back that up with Peter over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And just to prove you were talking about Jesus, go to verse 21. But even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So you know we're talking about Jesus. Okay, verse 24. Who his own self, yes, this is Jesus, bore our sins, okay, sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus took your sins upon himself. That's why you can be forgiven. Good news. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Are you born again? Are you living unto righteousness? But also, by whose stripes ye were healed. Physical healing. And Jesus proved it in his ministry by casting out demons, healing the sick, and even in Matthew 8, it says it was a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. So Jesus loves to be a healer, and I always have to throw this in. Oh, well, he used to do us, and our theology says after Pentecost or the last apostle had died that thing was done away with. Liar, liar, pants on fire. In fact, just read a little bit further in your Bible, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has been, he always will be, our Savior and Lord, our Deliverer and Healer, our soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're talking about Jesus. Now, as we look at other aspects on healing and with that deliverance, because some people have demons, and when the demons are cast out, they're healed. And if you know very many people, you've seen and experienced that. But just so you haven't, let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus again doing his ministry. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. A demon was harassing her and vexing her, and that's a terrible thing to go through. Okay. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Let me give you a little explanation. This woman is a Gentile. When Jesus came, his original ministry was to the Jewish people to get them saved, and they were going to be the ones who put out the gospel. So Jesus is focusing on the Jewish people. She's a Gentile. She's outside the covenant, and that right now is now who's not Jesus not dealing with that. Okay. So they kind of ignore her. Now, verse 24. But he answered and said, Jesus speaking, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, I didn't make that up. Okay. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, here's a powerful verse, because we're talking about healing and deliverance. But he answered and said, It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Okay. So what did Jesus say? Jesus is talking to a Gentile woman who's outside the covenant. Basically, he's saying, if you were in covenant with me, I would cast this demon out right now. It's the children's bread. Being delivered, being healed, Jesus says, if you're in covenant with him, is the children's bread. But she's outside the covenant. But he's saying, again, let me read it. It is not right to take the children's bread, talking about deliverance and healing, and to cast it to the dogs. The Gentiles, we were considered dogs. That's just the truth. Okay. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. See, she was persistent, wasn't going to give up. Jesus says, Woman, you got some faith. And the demon was cast out. She was set free. Now I'm going to ask you three questions. And again, I'm going to answer them. Don't you like that? Give the answer. Okay. Number one question, does God want anyone to be lost and die to go to hell? Absolutely not. Back that up, preacher. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, that means die and go to hell, but all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 5, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus became a man, fully God, fully man. Okay, so it's God's will that everyone gets saved, right? Jesus died for all the sins of the people. So is everyone going to get saved? Is everyone saved? No. In fact, the Bible also tells us that narrow is the way and few that enter in. So we know there are millions, possibly billions of people that will die and go to hell. But they won't go because Jesus didn't pay for their sins and it wasn't available to them. But for whatever reason, they didn't receive his mercy and forgiveness, right? But the price was paid for. And yes, I'm leading you on here. Second question, does God want anyone to have a demon? Well, of course not. God doesn't want any person to have a demon. Well, Jesus cast out demons. He gave us authority over demons. So God's will is not for anyone to have a demon. Are there people that have demons? True. But has the price been paid for them to be set free? Well, you know I'm setting you up, right? Okay. Third one. Does God want anyone sick? You knew I was going there. Yep, leading you on. Absolutely not. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and in Jesus' ministry in Matthew 8 and 1 Peter 24, by his stripes you were healed. It's been paid for. Does everyone get healed? You know that's not true. Has the price been paid for? It is God's will for people to get healed. Absolutely, yes, paid in full. But some don't know it. Some don't believe it. Some don't receive it. But it doesn't change the reality that it's God's will. It's been paid for, provided for. Okay? Now I want to go a little different direction here because I just feel like this would be good. Kind of going off a little bit here in John chapter 5. I'll go start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Imagine that, 38 years having this infirmity of sickness. Doesn't tell us what it is, but he was in bad shape, right? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been thus now a long time, he said unto him, "Will thou be made well?" Now you're thinking to yourself, maybe, well, of course he wants to be made well. No. Some people don't want to be made well. They'll have to go to work. They'd have to give up their disability. They'd have to hand in their handicap sticker. You know, you don't really understand. Not everybody wants to be well. Some people, the only attention they get is complaining about their little infirmity or weakness. It's kind of like a pet to them. So, no, not everybody wants to get well. Just understand that. So it's a legitimate question, will thou be made well? Okay. You like that, didn't you? Okay. Verse 7, the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately, this is a miracle, right? And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked, and the same was the Sabbath. Okay, every day is a good day to get healed, not to religious people. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It was not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Religious rules that negate what Jesus wants to do. It's still today, folks. Okay. Verse 11. He answered them, "He that made me well, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then answer they him, what man is this who said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" Okay. Jesus didn't even let him know it was him. Okay. Okay. And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had moved away a multitude being in that place. See, Jesus can heal you and you don't even know that Jesus did it, but that's another message. Okay, and here's the point. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made well. Of course, Jesus, the one healed him. Notice this. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Oh. So, what did Jesus tell? In this, it's not true in every sickness. But this sickness he had for 38 years was because of some sin. Jesus didn't tell us what the sin was. But Jesus told the man, yes, I'm the one that healed you, but sin no more. In other words, I'm sure he knew what he was talking about. This sin that got you into have this sickness and disease, don't do it or you'll get worse. Do you get the point here? Which just establishes a principle that some sicknesses are due to sin in your life. You drink too much and your liver goes bad. That was dumb, wasn't it? Jesus could still heal you. But if you go back doing that sin again, you might die this time. He might be merciful and heal you. Jesus loves to heal people. But the point is this. Some sicknesses you might have, if you're praying and can't get well, you need to ask Jesus, Lord, is there a sin in my life that I need to deal with, that I need to take care of, so that I don't get this again? So some sickness is because of sin. And I gave you just one little example. But again, that brings us to healing today also. Going ahead and jumping over to James chapter 5, because we're still supposed to be practicing healing in the church today. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Pray for yourself first, okay? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Jesus says here, God is telling us here, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Yes, Jesus is the healer. But he works through people. Why do you think he can work through your doctor and he can't work through anointed Christians? I know, because you've been taught that. Sad, isn't it? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Jesus is the healer. But notice this. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, I've heard a couple different testimonies of a healing evangelist. A person would come forward with crippling arthritis, and the Lord would give the preacher a word of knowledge and say, you need to forgive so-and-so. So they forgave so-and-so. Then the evangelist prayed and they were healed. Their unforgiveness was the key to them having the arthritis. Not a doctor, just saying sometimes that is how it works. I want you to get well. Sometimes sin is your problem. So if you're having a problem getting healed, say, Lord, is there anything, any junk in my trunk? Anything I need to deal with, Jesus, so that you can heal me. Amen? And then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of the ministrations, but the same Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God who worketh all in all, God the Father. We have the Trinity right here in these three verses, okay. Now what does God say? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. These gifts are available to all born-again believers. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, supernatural divine direction. To another, the word of knowledge, supernatural information you didn't know by the same Spirit. To another, faith, that's mountain-moving faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. That's a spiritual gift you could have, yes. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, and these last days, you better be asking for that one. To another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that the one and the very same Spirit, Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit is sovereign over who gets what gifts, but he tells us later on to covet those gifts. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now again, the most excellent way is love. But even after he does the love chapter, he says, chapter 14, verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So the 9 spiritual gifts are still for today. Covet them, ask for them. God wants you to have them. And those gifts operate in you can get people saved, discipled, delivered, and healed. And it's God, but it's God working through you with his spiritual gifts that he gives to believers. Now, is that exciting or what? These are all different ways you can get healed. Also, one more maybe. 3 John chapter, well, it's only one chapter, verse 2. And I want to talk about this just a minute. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou might prosper and be in health. Now, Henry Wright has a great book about being in health. Even as thy soul prospereth. Okay. Your soul basically dealing with your mind, will, emotion. If you're an emotional wreck, if you're an angry, hateful, depressed, upset person, is your soul prospering? Well, because your soul's not prospering, you're probably sick too. If you want to be in health, you need to get healed in your soul, your mind, will, emotions. You need to repent of all your sins. You need to forgive others. You need to let the love of God fill you up. You need to receive and walk in that righteousness, peace, and joy that the Holy Spirit gives you. If you're a miserable, angry wretch, of course you got problems. You're not prospering in your soul, and that affects your body. Do you understand that? You know, the doctors used to say about ulcers, it's not what you're eating, what's eating you. They used to say that anyway. But they understood the point. You don't deal with junk in your life right, it can cause your body to mess up. Sometimes you just need to get with God, get right with him, get some righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Make sure you've forgiven everyone. Make sure you're repenting of your sins and your soul's prospering. And it'll be so much easier for you to be in health and walk in health. Sometimes your emotional condition is causing you to be sick. Do you got that? And even doctors understand that. You're stressed out, traumatized, and I can't understand why I'm so sick. Well, duh. And usually the devil's behind it, that's right. But you take away his rights. Apply the blood of Jesus to those areas. Receive the healing power of the stripes of Jesus Christ. Amen? But the most greatest miracle is to be saved. Do you know today if you died, you'd go to heaven? If not, and you want to know, call out to Jesus. Jesus, you're the Savior. You're the only Savior. I know it. I'm a sinner. Jesus, forgive me from all my sins. I repent. I'm asking you right now to come into my heart and life and to be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, Jesus, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you. Be in health.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.